Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
A global exchange?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The first transatlantic stock exchange is being formally launched in Paris today. It follows the merger between the New York Stock Exchange and Euronext. As Stephen Beard reports from the European desk, this could be the first major move towards a global stock market.
Nothing much will change immediately after today's launch. The NYSE and Euronext, which run stock markets in Paris, Amsterdam, Brussels and Lisbon, will carry on trading as before. But the merged group has big plans. NYSE Euronext will seek further hookups in the Far East. It already has a partnership with the Tokyo Stock Market and a stake in India's leading exchange. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank says the ultimate vision is a market that straddles the globe.
The idea is to set up alliances to bring people into this network so that you do have round the world 24-hour global trading. You can buy a share in Paris in euro and sell it seamlessly in New York in dollars.
In the short term, the merged group intends to take on London as the top center for international IPOs. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Another strong showing by the Asian markets this morning. In Tokyo, the Nikkei gained 300 points. Wall Street also had a good day yesterday. A rise in pending home sales and falling oil prices had investors pump. The Dow powered up 128 points to 12,510. The Nasdaq charged 428 points to 2450. And the S&P bolted up 13 points. It's at 1437. The U.S. apartment market remained strong in the first quarter. However, most areas of the country didn't show an impact from the recent mortgage crisis. The real estate analyst group Ray says nationwide rents rose an average of 1%. Vacancy rates remained about the same. The study found that in some markets, rental rates were restrained because condominiums were reconverted to apartments and then returned to the market as rentals. Meanwhile, today, the House Financial Services Committee will hold a hearing in Massachusetts about the middle-class housing crunch. Marketplace's Steve Hinn reports that high housing prices aren't just a drag for first-time buyers. They're also a drag on some regional economies.
Many economists are preoccupied with whether or not the housing bubble has burst. Barry Bluestone is at Northeastern University. He'll testify that in places like Boston, a sustained housing boom could have a bigger downside.
Controlling for inflation, median household income in Greater Boston has essentially been flat for more than 15 years. At the same time, median home prices have risen by about 50%.
That's put the entire region out of reach for most first-time buyers. In another study, Bluestone found that cities with the highest median housing prices have real economic problems.
And the cost of living has finally caught up with those communities. They have been losing jobs. They have been losing population.
Turns out high housing costs are a quiet job killer, so slowly deflating the bubble might not be such a bad thing. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Get out the Geiger counter. Some of the food you eat is irradiated. That's right. Things like eggs, fruits, and vegetables are exposed to small doses of radiation. It kills bacteria but leaves the food safe to eat. Yesterday, the FDA says it's thinking about getting rid of the label that lets you know about irradiation. The agency proposed letting companies use the term pasteurized instead. Their argument is if the food is unchanged, why label it at all? Well, maybe they just want to avoid that worried expression you just got on your face when you heard that some of your food is exposed to radiation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The music business is always changing and mutating into something new. Rap used to be huge, but last year sales fell by more than 20%. Well, now geeks, gamers, and techies have created a new genre called nerdcore. Nerdcore rappers are even touring the country, giving live concerts. Caitlin Carroll reports.
I'm a nerd. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm a nerd. I roleplay and I brag about it.
That's Beefy. He's a 21-year-old nerdcore rapper who's just finishing up his first West Coast tour. Beefy says he never thought he'd be playing to a live audience.
I was in eighth grade in middle school, and I started rapping to impress the girl who sat in front of me because she was really into it. And I was like, hey, I can rap. So I started making that stuff you hear everywhere on the radio because that's easy to write. She's like, I'm a thug and I do this and this is what I have. And it's all lies.
Soon the computer geek dropped the gangster style. It was tough to maintain as a suburban eighth grader. Beefy started rapping instead about his real interests, the bread and butter of nerdcore. Video games, sci-fi, and computers.
Nerdcore used to be just a made-up word. MCs shied away.
MC Frontalot coined the term nerdcore back in 2000. Since then, websites like RhymeTorrents.com and MySpace have helped create a community of geek rappers. Frontalot says inexpensive equipment, software, and nerd know-how make producing the music easy. He's able to rap full-time just through music sales off the internet.
Between that and the t-shirts, you know, it covers my rent and my groceries, which is pretty much all that any indie music person ever dreams of.
This kind of do-it-yourself model has transformed the record industry. So says Nagin Farsad, director of the film Nerdcore Rising.
I think that record labels are kind of going the way of the dinosaur. You know, you don't really need a record label anymore to get your music heard. What you really need is just a high-speed internet connection at in your apartment.
Unfortunately, internet stardom doesn't always translate into cash. Beefy's going back to his part-time job at a pizza place after his tour. But he says it wasn't the money that brought him to nerdcore. It was the ability to bring nerdcore to cyberspace.
I want to be an internet celebrity.
In Los Angeles, this is Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Along with Nerdcore, you can also put Marketplace on your MP3 player. That's because we're podcasting. Just click on marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.